Okay, so welcome to our all-together meeting, which we have once a month. And then we'll have communion as well, and the children will stay with us all through. Yes, we thank God for his goodness to us. It's been a very, very busy August, but we thank God for his breakthroughs and his blessings. We thank God on behalf of each person. Look at that psalm that Kenny led us to read, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. The psalmist is very insightful, knowing that you can praise God only with your mouth. You can sing. Those songs that we sang, if you say we should go home now, it's recorded that you've worshipped and you've listened to a message. Powerful words. Some people think, oh, it's just, we just come, just following the motion. No, motion. Look at those words. Powerful. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being. Praise his holy name. That sounds like 100% to me. That sounds like a 9 to me. Not so. For those of you who don't understand what 9 is, 9 is A star. That is the highest you can get. You are hitting the bar. You are 100. You are playing around 100 or 100. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being. Praise his holy name. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. Today, I want to say we are blessed as a church. We've been going through authentic Christianity, the main theme, but also we had a sub-theme, series 3, praying community, how to pray. We've done things like how to pray the secret place. You can check it online. And Edward led us at how to pray God first. God is the one we magnified. He's our Father in heaven. We've done how to pray, personal concerns. Herb taught us that as well. And also how to pray, deliver us from the evil one. Last week, it was how to pray when you fast. Essentially saying, when you fast, don't let people know. Don't publicize it. That's why as a church, when we fast, our fasting period, we put a tick. Nobody can look at those ticks and say, that is some Lightwing. No, that tick is like her. No names, right? So that nobody knows. You choose your time, you choose the thing, we spend time, we just pray. But, okay, some people are also CAD, Christian Artful Dodgers. They just sleep through, they don't pray, they don't fast. God is calling you to participate, to be a disciple. Today, we'll be rounding up this mini series this topic, how to pray, seek, ask, seek, and knock. And our main text will be from Matthew 7 to 11. We thank God for the last mini series. We should be doers and hearers. Not just hearers, but hearers and doers of the word. Young people at the back and up there, please listen. I was telling some people last week that I've read the Bible many times. I never knew that there was a place that David referred to his mother. Has anybody come across that place? Thank you. Only very few. He said, I serve you as my mother served you. Psalm 86. David saw his mother serving. Don't forget that David went into service as a young boy. But Jesse was good. I'm not saying Jesse wasn't good, but David saw his mother serving God. Say, I serve you as my mother served you. We should be hearers and doers of the word. No, so the question is for the young and not so young. We've been doing this series on how to pray. Has it changed your prayer life? It's a question you should ask yourself. Has your prayer life been boosted, been overhauled? If your attitude to prayer and practice has improved, you will also experience that your corporate participation will improve as well. But I want to tell you, it's not too late. Check the Go Online, go through the series again, listen to it in the comfort of your home, and say, God, help me. Help me. Prayer is it. Help me. You know, we thank God for his goodness and his love. But one way you know you are a child of God, if they take away your Bible, they take away your property, they take away everything, they take away your loved ones, is God. Are you able to talk to him? Are you able to hear from him? Stephen, when he was being stoned, they were throwing stone at him. Right? These days, when you say Stephen, when he was being stoned, it may mean some other things. No, I don't mean that one. They were throwing stones at him. See, the young ones are laughing. They understand. They were throwing stones at him. I don't think he had his Bible there. He was the only one. What did he see? He saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. He had it. How did he know it was the Lord? Well, if you have been praying to God, you will know. You will know it's your God. Stephen saw the Lord. It was someone filled with the Holy Spirit. He saw the Lord. Brothers and sisters, as long as we are alive, we can change. We can change. The only group of people who cannot change are dead people. It's finished. You are listening to me, you can change. And it doesn't lie with God, it lies with you. Because God has supplied everything we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. It's your hand. It's in your hands. If the Lord says, love your neighbor, and you say, okay, I love my neighbor, but I will blank them. I will blank that one. You are bringing something else to it, and you are on your own. Love your neighbor. Pray for them. Forgive them. You say, yes, I will forgive him, but I will blank him. You think God doesn't understand the word, what blanking means? That's why I say, as long as I'm alive and you're alive, you can be transformed by opening your heart to God. It is free. And we are all on the same plane. You cannot say, oh, that person has a bicycle that is powered, so his own is different. No, no. We are all the same. Right? We come to God. The same. We repent. The same. We don't pay to repent. It doesn't cost us anything to repent. But we open our hearts to God and ask him to help us. So it's not too late to change and be obedient to God in this area of personal and corporate prayer. So our main text summarizes the main thing about the prayer life of a disciple of Jesus. Don't forget, God hasn't called us as a church to make Christians. He's called us to make disciples. We've been saying it. When you join the church, I explained to you, this is what the Lord taught us to be a house of, or told us to be a house of prayer and to make disciples. And we've been explaining again and again. So, what does this mean? If you are a pastor, you are still learning. If you are in the worship team, you are still learning. If you are in the PA team there, you are still learning. No matter the instrument you play, you are still learning. A disciple is someone who is being changed. No condemnation. I had a principal called C.V. Alonso. He never mind. You know, he didn't mind if you had 40% in an exam. And we used to do exams every 3 weeks. But the next exam, get 45. The next exam, get 50. It's like the plane. Let the plane be going like that. He says you are improving. Not to get 90 this time, and the next time you get 40. Then there's a problem. Just be improving. That's how a disciple is. You learn, you improve, ask God to help you. Praise the Lord. So our main text summarizes the prayer life of a disciple of Jesus. The assurance that our prayers will be heard and answered. If you want to be sure that you're not just talking, that your prayers will be heard and will be answered. Let's read our main text, please. Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Praise the Lord. Yes. Don't forget, let me set the context. Jesus saw the crowd. Then he called his disciples to him. He went to a mountainside and sat down. He started teaching them. So he was talking to his disciples. So the key question we want to ask ourselves, are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? Your father was going to church and your mother was going to church, so you are going to church, right? Good. That doesn't make you a disciple. A disciple is someone who has asked Jesus Christ to come into his life, to forgive him his sin, who believes in Jesus and has repented. That is asking God to forgive him or forgive her. Turning away from that and then obeying God but in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is, you have been making decisions for yourself like me post 1969. I live my life the way I wanted to. Then I heard the word of God. I believed God. You see, the problem we human beings have is that we think we are wise. We can't hide anything from God. Some people in Yemen will tell you that they can set off to go somewhere and they don't return. It won't happen to us in Jesus' name. We are here now. It may please the Lord to say you are not going back home. Nobody should run out. What will we do? Nothing. Because we know it has happened before. We know it has happened before. We are not a place, a country prone to earthquakes. See what has happened to some people. Some people, lava will just come up before they run out of their house, cover everything. Well, thank God, those that know Jesus will go to heaven. Those that repent of their sins will go to heaven. Anything can happen. They are not worse off. They are not. They've not committed more sins. Important thing is, do you know Jesus for yourself as Lord? Do you come to him to say, I believe in you. Forgive me my sins. And turn away from those sins. That is repentance. You turn away. And you ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. The benefits of the Holy Spirit are very clear. He is the Spirit of life. Two, he is God himself. Three, he enables you to live a good life. Let anybody put his hand. Do you come across temptations? If you come across temptations, if you don't come across temptations, put up your hand. Thank you that you didn't put up your hand. We all come across temptations, but we don't yield. Some people try to get people to go to hell. They tell you, pray the prayer and everything is okay. That is, come to Jesus, pray the prayer, then everything is okay. It's not okay. I can't continue to sin, everything will be okay. I can't go to the bank and steal, and everything is okay. After I've prayed the prayer. It shows that I did not repent. Now, when you repent and ask the Lord to help you, He helps you overcome. I'm just using that as an example. He helps you. He helps you. He begins to transform you. He begins to enable you to seek the Lord, to please Him. So I want to tell you, there, the first thing, Jesus was talking to His disciples, the first step to being a disciple is coming to Jesus. It's not maybe, maybe not. No. If you are with Jesus, you are with Jesus. You know your parents' name, not so? If someone to ask you, who is your mother? You say, maybe her name is Alice, or maybe it's Janet. The person will look at you. Are you... Yes, people are smiling. They don't want to use the word. What's happening? You don't know whether your mom's name is Alice, or Janice, or Janet, or Pearl, or... No. You know your mother. You know your father. So when you come, when you are serious, God knows. And He wants to help you. The Bible says He does not want anybody to perish. So on His side, He's ready. So it actually depends on you to say, Lord, I come to you. I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. There are many. As you remind me, I will repent. Forgive me. I will confess them. Make me the person you want me to be. Help me, Lord. And you begin to enjoy transformation. People have preached here and they've told you about their previous lives, including me. The difference that Jesus makes, He brings life. He brings change. He brings assurance. And I tell you, it's good to be sure here where you are going. Because when your time is up, it's not the time that a pastor will come and lie that you are going to heaven. Okay? The pastor doesn't have the power to tend you to heaven. To say, no, this is just God, accept this one. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. The pastor should direct you to Jesus. And Jesus saves you here. And then you continue to obey Him. You will notice the Bible passage we read. It says, dwelling. If you scroll down, please. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who knocks, who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask Him? If you are like me, I've asked the Lord for some things I did not get. Initially, it was painful. And later on, I realized that, thank God, God did not give me those gifts there. I've asked God for things. I've asked God for things according to my desire, not His desire. But out of His mercy, because I continue to ask, He's giving me His own will. We thank the Lord for His love for us. See, ask. Your Heavenly Father is committed to giving you good gifts. But you have to be confident that you are His child. There are general gifts, but good gifts you will be sure this is from God. You ask him for provision. God provides for his own. He directs. Okay? Those that are going to do exams next year, begin to ask now, because he will minister to you as well how you will work hard, and he will enable you to work hard. If people have been watching too many films, you think, I don't want to study, I want to get good grades. Okay? Just do it like this. It's good grades. Well, it doesn't happen. And if it does happen, it's not fair, is it? And God is a fair God. He's a fair God. He's a God of truth. He's a God of mercy. Our Heavenly Father is committed to giving good gifts to his children. It's a provision. And seek. Yeah, talking about fellowship here. Our confidence that our prayer will be answered depends on the quality of our relationship with God. Has your prayer life improved? Do you really spend time with him? In the presence of God, there's no shame. It's you and your God. Okay? You just open up to him. Say, Lord, help me. It's not the power of positive thinking or business transaction. You give this, you get this, or some satanic or pagan method to get what you want. We must seek the giver. Have fellowship with the giver. You know, I know you have friends, but we always use this example. You've made a nice meal you're about to eat. Usually the meat is on top. If it's too much, some will be at the side. It will roll over to be at the side. Then someone comes in and says, oh, you should come and eat. He said, no, I'm not interested. I just want to take the meat only. You will say, no, let us take it this way. I can't eat the carbohydrates and you take just the meat. We have to share. You can just specialize on the meat. And then I will take the big one that is carbohydrate. I can give you a bit of meat, but, you know, if it's only meat you want, you can have that bit. You know, we seek the giver. That shows we are serious. Fellowship. We seek the giver. You know, this is the source of genuine faith. That we have relationship with the giver. Then we will be sure that we will receive good gifts. We seek the giver. Don't just say, Lord, give me this. Give me this. You want to relate. You want to have fellowship with him. What does Hebrews 11 say? Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, who earnestly have fellowship with him. Look at this. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. They said of Peter, they were praying. They had given up hope. Someone had been killed. Another one had been killed. But God, that night, God sent Peter to be released. They prayed earnestly. When Peter appeared and Rhoda, not Kenny, Rhoda, saw Peter and came and told them, the disciples said, maybe you're out of your mind. They did not expect it. But God, it's always sweet when God comes in. But God, fellowship, always seek the giver. Always seek the giver. You know what Matthew 6:33 says? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom. Do you know, they say, you know, seek the giver. The giver. You know, where is the giver? Who is the giver? God is the giver. Where is he? It's in his will. I will prove it to you. God is in his will. The Lord told Moses, when you see the cloud move, you move. Not so. If the cloud doesn't move, stay there. So, if you break camp and move, when the cloud doesn't move, you are on your own. God is there. See, if you know, when he said, stretch your rod, and the Red Sea parted. Then they went in. Then if you think, oh, let me stay in Egypt. I'm not even going to come with them. Then you will not cross the Red Sea. God is in his will. If he says stop, you stop. That's why when you have fellowship with him, you seek, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I passed my GCSEs. Thank you. What do you want me to do? Help me, Lord. I passed my A-levels. Lord, what do you want me to do? And for those who think it's too early, your child is in mini kids, begin to pray, Lord, provide a partner when time comes for this person, for my son, for my daughter. Begin to pray. Some Christians say, what will we pray about? Come for prayer meeting, I keep quiet. I tell you, there are many things to pray about. You don't know yet. You don't know. But when you begin to pray, in your bank account, prayer bank account is loaded. When someone sees your daughter, if a charlatan sees your daughter, the charlatan will run. If a bad person sees your son, no, this one, I won't touch this one. It won't stick. Start praying. Different things to pray for. Seek the giver. Have fellowship with the giver. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, seek him with all your heart and all your soul, and you will find him. I used to, think, oh, Lord, you bless that person. You bless. See the testimony they are giving. You seek him, and you will find him. He is not partial. You seek him, you find him. What does James say? Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. You are not going to draw close to God with my legs. You are going to draw close to God by yourself. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. We thank God. We must make it a priority in our prayer life to seek to know and obey God with all our hearts, through his word and through the work of his Holy Spirit. We seek to know God. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? You know, it's very easy. I remember a woman. She's dead now. Our neighbor, I told you this story before, but anybody just listening to this, you will hear it. Our neighbor in our previous house said, oh, you people, when you are praying, heat comes through the wall to, our house. I never saw any heat. We didn't have put on the heater. That was how she explained it. Then she turned out that she was a chief yoga person. And then she introduced this lady to us who thought one of the princes here, yoga. But this woman was ill. So I went to see her, and I said, God, what will I say? And God gave me an insight. She could not go upstairs anymore. She was downstairs. So God gave me a word. And I told her what was under her bed upstairs. She opened her eyes. How did you know that? I said, God told me. Then I told her about Jesus, did Alpha course for her. She was coming to the meeting. I was praying for her. I told her to trust in the Lord. Then one day she said, Tim, I said, yes. She said, why are you always talking about Jesus? I said, because it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. She said, no, I just want to be healed. I don't want Jesus. I said, well, I can't help you. Jesus is the way. So, we have to make sure we put him first and we tell people about that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We had the example also of buying this place. We sought him. We prayed. There was a tiny place somewhere that if they had given it to us, I would have thrown both hands up. They didn't give it to us. It pained me. But God gave us something better than our imagination. even up to now, when I go around doing my work, I say, wow, God, thank you. I never would have imagined this, that you provide this place for us in your own time. Praise the Lord. It's always good to be where God wants you to be. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, Tim says, I can know you if I seek you with all my heart. Yes. Report me to God. And then begin to ask. Begin to apply these things we are saying. If you pray, you don't hear, Lord, I'm not hearing. Lord, direct me. He will begin to speak to you. You will begin to recognize the way he leads you. God, you know, God is awesome. He wants to spend time with you and bless you. I want to quickly go because we're going to have communion. Knock. Knock, to knock is the dwelling, to stay with the Lord, to be there with the Lord. It's as if you are entering. And this is very important. You enter and stay. The most important gain is to dwell in the house of the Lord. The most important gain, to be with God now and forever, is the safest place. Look at what Psalm 91 says, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If you come to church long enough, you want to enjoy rest. But are you dwelling? See, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Everybody wants to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. But where's your domicile? Where do you dwell? Where's your house? Don't you see, if you look around, we are all different. I've seen identical twins. They are not identical to a T. No. They look alike. But we are all different. Where do you dwell? Ask yourself, where do you stay? Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Why is it God is always blessing you? Why are you so sure? Why is this? You prayed. Why? And Jesus says, I will help you. Don't be discouraged. I will help you. Don't follow people who will say, Lord, everything is okay now. You've prayed the prayer. You can do anything. You ask them, if I put a knife to your neck, is that okay? They will tell you no. Then why are you saying I can do anything now? Because I prayed the prayer. I have to dwell in the house of the Lord, then I will begin to be in the shadow of the Almighty. See, my daddy is the Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that we all go to. We go to him, we bow before him. Kings bow before him. Paupers bow before him. I will bow before him. You will bow before him. I come from a country that you don't tell your parents to do their will. They think you are going to kill them. They think you want them to die. Yet they keep repeating the same mistake. They die without a will. The children without having problems. Write a will. You will die. It's not a curse. It's just what happens. But no. Don't mention it. I claim life. We claim in it. They learn the lingo. I claim this one. I reject this one. I'm not the one killing you. All of us are getting old. When I was a young boy, there was this film, Kirk Douglas. You know, was a young man, could see his picture. 2 days ago, they showed him, he's 102 years old. They showed him with his carer. All of us are like going that way, if we don't go before then. But where are you going? You can start dwelling in that place now, in the shadow of the Almighty. In the shelter of the Almighty. Praise the Lord. There were people who did that. There were people who did that. Where was God when Joseph was in prison? God was with Joseph. when they said Daniel should ask only the king and shouldn't pray. No, God wasn't in that edict. God was with Daniel because Daniel was praying. So when they threw him into the den of lions, God said, hey, this is mine. Lion, don't eat. Don't touch. Your desire to eat, I arrest it. Stop. Actually, begin to relax near this one. I don't even want you to play with him because he will be scared. Just mute. Just pause. Stay where you are. Only God can issue that decree. Lion, stay where you are. And when Daniel came out of the den, was taken out, God came out with Daniel. Not so. How do I know? When the people who accused the conspirators were thrown in, the lions did not wait for the people to land. They grabbed them and ate them. Where do you want to dwell? With God? Or maybe not, outside? Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Then the psalmist started talking. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You can begin to talk then when you are in the shadow of the Almighty. When you look around, you see that there's no competition here. When you are in the shadow of the Almighty, you begin to say, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because you are there. I told you before, I'm telling you again, getting there depends on you, not on Jesus. Because Jesus provides that. He enables you. But you have to take it up. You have to yearn. You have to move. You have to open your heart. Praise the Lord. Look at what the psalmist says, Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, in the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We go through that. Don't we go through that? When people preach to you and think everything will be okay, and you tap into that everything will always be okay, they tell you you won't grow old. When you see a gray hair come on your head, you begin to deny it. It's okay. But Jesus said, I will be with you. Look at what the psalmist says. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, dwell. If he's your shepherd, remain there. Don't wander away. Don't wander away. You are not God. He is God. Stay with him. He told Moses, don't move. If the cloud doesn't move, don't move. And David, Moses knew the presence of God was in there. Don't move. Up into High Street, still up into High Street. Seven Oaks, this Seven Oaks. If I say don't move, don't move. That is why we should always ask him. Moses soon found out that from the Moses that killed the Egyptian, he had to be Moses that will always go back to God. That is where God always go back to God. God will tell you, stay with him, dwell with him, fellowship with him. Then you can ask him, and you will be sure that he's going to give you what you've asked or something better. and God will always answer your prayers. We thank God, brothers and sisters, for his love. Says, Psalm 23, verse 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, in summary, as we round up, because we have communion, we can have faith in God, complete assurance that he will answer our prayers as we keep asking, seeking, and knocking. It is of the greatest importance that we seek the giver, not just the gifts, and then enter his dwelling, make it a permanent place for ongoing relationship with God. If God is our shepherd, everything else that is good will follow. Praise the Lord. Let us pray.